the blessing to be back in the service tonight. We're thankful for this opportunity, and we're thankful that the Lord has blessed us with the privilege to be in His house tonight. Thankful for the good songs. They encouraged our heart, spoke to our lives tonight, and so I appreciate that. And He is a God that ought to be given thanks to. Amen.
Amen.
And so I praise Him tonight for salvation and in all the blessings and the benefits that He's given us since we've been saved. And that He's going to do. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here in these days. Thank you, Brother Hobson, for the invitation to come. Thank you, Church, for allowing us to be here and your prayers for us before we got here and while we've been here. And I trust you'll continue to pray for us. And it's been our high honor to be here in these days. Thank you for your kind hospitality, good place to stay and meals, and ever act of kindness. Thanks for your giving and the offering, everything you've done to make our stay easier. And I appreciate that in every way. May the Lord bless you, and I trust the Lord will use you greatly here as you labor for Him and try to do His will and be faithful till He comes. And I trust He'll continue to bless you greatly.
Amen.
All right, we've been looking at Genesis 16 ever since Monday night. I want to look there again tonight. And, of course, we did read the whole chapter on Monday night, and we haven't read it since. I don't think I will again tonight. But I want to go to verse number 1 because there is the name of all three characters that we've been preaching on this week. And so I want to go there and look at that verse again tonight just for starting place. If you want to leave your Bible open to that chapter 16, I'll maybe refer to some verses there that you might be able to look at tonight. And I trust that you'll pray for us. The Lord would help us to say what He wants us to say from the Scriptures and preach the truths that are here in the Word of God tonight. All right, if you found your place and are physically able, I invite you to stand with us tonight as we look here at Genesis chapter 16. Let's look at that verse number 1 and then try to preach tonight. The Bible said, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar." Father, we're grateful, we're thankful tonight that you have blessed us with the privilege to be in your house, that you have blessed us to live in a nation that we enjoy this freedom. Thank you, dear Lord, for Lord, the freedom we have, Lord, as American citizens, but thank you for the freedom we have in Christ and then for the liberty that there is in the Spirit of the Lord tonight. Thank you for saving me and calling me to preach. Thank you for the open door. Thank you for the liberty that we've had in the nights that have passed. Thank you, Father, dear Lord, for that. But Lord, this is another night and another congregation, another people tonight, and we need fresh oil. So I'm asking you one more time to give us unction and utterance tonight. I'd ask you, Lord, to give us that heavenly wisdom and spiritual insight that I must have in order to preach. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd touch these lips of clay, that the Word of God can go forth from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God tonight. And Lord, dear Lord, I pray the Word of God would find a lodging place in each of our lives. Would you prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God? May the seed of the Word of God fall on good ground tonight and bring forth fruit unto perfection. May we, Lord, leave here bettered by coming. May we leave here grown closer to you. May we leave here with our faith increased. May we leave here with a greater desire to do the work and the will of God. May we leave here, dear Lord, seeing ourselves in the light of the Word of God and the will of God and the ways of God. Please don't leave us unchanged. Please don't leave us like we've come. But do that great eternal and effectual work that only you can do in the heart of an individual. Save sinners, stir saints. Lord, I pray, God, tonight, above everything we'd ask you to do, that everything that would be accomplished in any and all of our lives, that above all that, your name would be glorified and magnified among us. Lord, what you're privileged to, Lord, and pleased to do in and through and for us, we'll thank and praise you, for I ask everything I ask in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight while we read the Word of God and prayed together. Most of you have been here the other nights, or at least some of the nights. And we've been trying to preach out of this chapter 16 about this story here that is told here about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. We know what has taken place here, how that since Abraham and Sarah have no children, since Sarah, my friend, has bare Abram no children, and it is told us that she's been restrained from bearing by the hand of the Lord, that Sarah, my friend, initiates this idea. My friend brings it to Abraham, and then they bring it to Hagar, that Hagar is to become the wife of Abram, and therefore, my friend, conceive seed and give birth to the heir that God had promised Abraham would be his, my friend, in chapter 15. Of course, we understand, my friend, this thing that happens is, my friend, the will of man, my friend, interfering with the will of God. We might say it's a test in Abraham's life. My friend, it's a test and a trial of his faith. Will he believe what God has already told him in chapter 15? That is, continue to believe it. He does believe it according to Genesis 15 and verse 6. He believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But will he walk that faith out? My friend, will he live it out in his daily life and in the rest of his life? And that's what's important. And so here, my friend, we find that he fails the test that God gave to him. Amen? I want to say, my friend, it wasn't the final test God gave him. It wasn't the only test of his faith. He had had others, and he will have more after this one, my friend. And may I say to you, God doesn't give up on us, and God doesn't quit testing our faith. My friend, once we fail our mess up, but I'm glad he just keeps working on us. Amen? He just keeps trying our faith until the dear pastor already said it one night this week in his closing statements. Thank God, there come a day when the greatest test of Abraham's faith took place. We find it in Genesis 22 when God said, take the only son that you have an offering for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee or show thee. And the Bible said the next morning Abraham arose early and my friend saddled that donkey, clave the wood, that is, he busted the wood, got two servants, kissed my friend Sarah goodbye and said, come on, Isaac. Hey, God, we're headed to worship God. He was unflinching. Hey, God, he was unhesitating. Hey, God, because step by step, hey, God, test by test, trial by trial, my friend, God had brought him to that place in his life. Well, bless his name. God, don't quit us. Hey, God, don't give up on us when we fail his test. Oh, and the purpose of him testing and trying our faith is not so we will fail, but so our faith can be increased, my friend, and we can learn to trust him, hey, God, in whatever situation that we have. Amen. So here, my friend, he fails the test. And here, my friend, this great, my friend, event, my friend, this thing takes place that looks like in its conception when these three get together, that their idea and their plan and their scheme, my friend, is what really ought to be done. But oh, when it becomes out of fruition, hey, God, instead of my friend being a help
doubt. My friend, it brings heartache. It brings, my friend, division. My friend, between Abraham and Sarah, between Sarah and Hagar. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? And they all wind up in a worse condition than they were to start with. You see, they just thought it was bad. I'd have to wait on God. And Sarah just thought it was bad for her womb to be barren and God to restrain her. But oh, after she saw Hagar had conceived and Hagar changed her attitude, my friend, toward her mistress, Sarah realized there was a heartache that went deeper than not getting what she wanted from the Lord. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Can I say to you tonight, my friend, there are many times that we want things from God that are not wrong things to want from Him. Oh, hear you hear me tonight? Hey, God, that's what lust is. Desiring to have what you cannot obtain or what you don't have at the time. Amen. And it was not wrong for her to desire, thank God, to have a child. But it was wrong for her to desire to have it outside of God's time frame, outside of God's will. Oh, are you hearing me, friend? Sometimes we can even want spiritual blessings, spiritual, my friend, things from the Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, and yet, my friend, it become a sin and a wrong in our life because we don't patiently wait until it's God's time and until He gives it and we take it in our own hands and try to bring it to pass by our own will and our own carnality and our own fleshly doing. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, God, help us. Are you listening tonight? I do believe tonight, let me say while I'm here, tonight that I do believe that I've seen many a parent, my friend, get in the way of their child being born again or saved by the grace of God because they want it so bad. But you can't do it. Thank God, outside of God's, my friend, working Himself. Amen. And if you do, thank God, my friend, impress upon them or try to do it by the arm of the flesh, you're only defeating your purpose. You're not really getting them to be saved. You may get them to make a profession, but what they need, it's not just a profession. What they need is a change in their heart and in their life. What they need is a born again experience. And I've seen many a parent so anxious for that child to be saved. Thank God, there's nothing wrong with weeping and praying over them. But I'm telling you, they would then, my friend, try, my friend, by the arm of the flesh to produce spiritual results and spiritual fruit. And it only brings disaster and heartache. Many a church, thank God, has done that too. Thank God, they wanted to see growth. They wanted to see members, and they sought carnal practices, thank God, to bring it to pass, and all it did was cause heartache. Amen. Well, I'm trying to get there tonight. I don't mean to go back over everything I've already preached this week, but I'm trying to get there tonight. Amen. So here we are with these dear people, and of course we know, getting down to verses 6 and 7 tonight, that amen. Hagar has conceived. She begins to mistreat Sarah. Sarah is despised in her eyes. Then Sarah, my God, is my friend, all upset about that. Her pride is hurt. She goes to Abraham, blames it all on him. He says, do what you want. And so she begins to mistreat Hagar. Amen. My God, the Bible said she dealt hardly or harshly with her. Hear me, friend. And that means to oppress or browbeat. Amen. Some think that in the Hebrew, it literally meant that she actually, God laid the rod to her. She actually laid a lashes to her. Oh, hear me, friend. And she would be within her rights in that time frame. Since she was a handmaid, she could do whatever she pleased with her. But it was a terrible thing. And so, thank God, where we left off Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, is Hagar is fled from her mistress, and she's at the edge of the wilderness of Shur. Sarah, thank God, is sitting in the tent, and she's so disappointed how things turned out. And Abraham realizes what a disaster has taken place simply because he hasn't stood his ground and walked in faith. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. And we left everybody there Monday night with Hagar, Tuesday night with Sarah, and last night with Abraham, or Abram. And I hated to do it, but that's just where it fell. But I'm glad we don't have to leave there tonight.
Thank God.
I'm glad, though, it was there. I'm glad that's not the end of the line. That's not the end of the story. Woo! Are you listening tonight? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'm glad the Lord stepped in. I'm glad in spite of Abram, in spite of Sarah, and in spite of Hagar, and their well-conceived and well-laid plan, their, my friend, idea, thank God, I'm glad God, and then they made a mess out of things, I'm glad God did not leave them in that state.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight? Well, let's look quickly. Would you allow me tonight? Hey, God, let's go back and start with Hagar for just a moment and finish chapter 16 and briefly look at chapter 17 and see what God did for these dear people. Amen. Somebody said, why would we want to look at that? Because that helps me when I mess up. That helps me when I fail the test. That helps me when I feel like I've reached the end of the line and made a mess out of the will of God and the way of God for my life. It'll help me to understand that there'll be a day, there'll be a time that God will come. Hallelujah. Thank God. And help. Thank God. I mean to find His will and to follow His will and to walk the path that He wants me to walk. Amen. You might say in the life of Hagar, other than her consenting, that'd be Abram's wife. But I don't see how she could consent no other way. Amen. She's a handmaiden. She didn't have no choice in the matter. Thank God. My friend, she's just a piece of property. She had to do what they said anyhow. And if her master, thank God, and her mistress, I said you're going to be the master's wife. She had no, thank God, other things to do than to do that. Sometimes the things that we that have in our life is out of our hands. It's not by our choice. Hey, God, we cannot help it. It's through the design of others. It's through what others have done that brings us to this place. And so it is with Hagar. But whether it's of our own hand or somebody else's hand, and then there's another hand that intervenes in our behalf.
Amen.
Amen. Bless His name. Woo! When it's somebody else's hand that brings me trouble and heartache, and when it's my own hand that brings me defeat and discouragement and despair, I'm glad there is a hand, the hand of the Lord, that'll intervene in our behalf. Are you listening tonight? So when we find her, the Bible said, amen, she is by a fountain of water in the wilderness, in the way to Shur. Amen. That wilderness of Shur is in the general direction from where she was at to going back to Egypt. So what she was doing was trying to find her way back to Egypt. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And isn't that what we do in our life and in our heart and our mind and our spirit? Thank God when things don't work out spiritually, when things even that we attempt for God, even those things, my friend, that we think are the answer, are my friend, what would work out best, my friend, when it doesn't, don't we want to return to Egypt? Don't we say, well, since this didn't work out, since this caused such heartache and disappointment, why not return to Egypt? Why not return to sin? Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. But when she stopped at this wilderness on the way to Shur, which means Shur means a wall, she hit a wall.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I sure am glad every time I wanted to go the other direction, every time I've been oppressed or persecuted, every time things didn't turn out right, and I said, well, I might as well go back to, thank God, the old life, might as well go back to the old way, I might as well follow the old path. I've always hit a wall, amen. Whether it was my own conscience or the providence of God, amen, I got to a place that God stopped me, that God said, that's far enough. And then God said, hold on a minute. Where in the world are you going? And what are you doing?
Amen. Oh, yes. That's good.
Amen. Well, bless His name tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, now we've found out her name means flight. So she took her flight from Egypt to Canaan. Now she's wanting to take a flight from Canaan. Thank God, through this wilderness of Shur. Amen. Bless His name. Hallelujah. But can I say to you, thank God, and I'm finally getting there. Please pray for me tonight. Amen. The Bible said, and verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her. Amen. She was fleeing, but she got found. Are you hearing me tonight? Thank God. Oh, she's the type of a sinner. I'm glad, thank God. When I was running from God, He found me. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me? I wasn't looking for Him, but I'm glad He come looking for me. I was lost, and so was Hagar. Thank God. And I'm glad God's that kind of God. He's been looking for mankind ever since He saw Adam out in the garden. He could have left Adam where he is at. But in the cool of the day, the voice of the Lord God was heard walking in the garden. Thank God, He is seeking after Adam. And God's been on our trail ever since. I appreciate that fact. And Jesus even said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I'm glad He found me. Hallelujah. And I'm glad He found me in my sin. I'm glad He found me, thank God, when I was down, going under. Hallelujah. But I'm not only glad He found me when I was lost, and when I was hell-bent, and hell-bound, and saved me by His grace. But I'm glad I've ever time since then, in my despair, in my discouragement, in my defeat, in my misunderstanding. Oh, thank God, I'm glad He's found me. Oh, I'm glad He's come out of where I've been. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. And the angel of the Lord said, amen, where comest thou and whither wilt thou go? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Thank God. How many times has the Lord said to you and I, well, where are you going to go? Hallelujah. Thank God. Peter said to the Lord, now, when all those disciples walked away, and the Lord said, will you also walk away? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thank God. Oh, and the angel of the Lord is saying to Hagar, since you're fleeing, since you're running away, thank God, whence have you came, and whither are you going to go? Thank God. Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, bless His name. By the way, can I say just a word here? This is the first time in the book of Genesis and in the Bible that this word, the angel of the Lord, is mentioned. You know, there's a law of first mention that if you understand, thank God, or get the idea behind of what's first mentioned, then it usually carries over into every other time when there is a mention of that same thing. Amen. The angel of the Lord. First time, thank God, that is mentioned, but it won't be the last. Hallelujah. I don't know what y'all think about it. I think that's Him. I think that's those Christophanies, theophanies. Thank God, those appearings of Christ. Thank God, hallelujah. And He comes to Hagar, are you hearing me? And finds her by the well. Woo! And I say tonight, thank God, nobody else was looking for her. Nobody else was interested in her. Thank God, a poor Egyptian handmaiden, a slave bought on the auction block, now with child, and didn't have any, thank God, education, no resources, no visible means of support. Thank God, who would care about this woman? Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Oh, thank God, out there in the wilderness, the angel of the Lord found her. He is looking for her. He saw her. Hallelujah. Woo! And who would seek for souls and sinners such as you and I? But the lovely Savior tonight, the lovely Lord, came where we was at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Bless His name. Thank God. Oh, I'm glad the Lord came to where I was at. Thank God. Amen. Oh, thank God, the grandson of a sharecropper, the son, my friend, of a man that the majority of his life spent, thank God, working at a factory where they made men's underwear. Are you hearing me? Thank God, I lived on the wrong side of the tracks. Thank God, the first time, first part of our life, and going to a little Baptist church, thank God, that when I was a boy, I didn't have Sunday school rooms on the back. I didn't have air conditioning nor indoor plumbing. Thank God, but I'm glad. Thank God, the Lord saw me. I'm glad the Lord came looking for me. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord found me and brought me out. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless His name tonight. And he finds her, and this fountain of water becomes a well. And this is the first time in the scripture that the word well is mentioned, but it won't be the last time. Hallelujah. And there's a whole lot of women get discovered around the well. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Rebecca becomes the bride of Isaac down by the well. Woo! Amen. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. Oh, that Samaritan woman sneaking out to the well when nobody else is there. I'm thinking when she goes out in the middle of the afternoon, midday, noonday, she'll be by herself and won't have to face nobody with her sin. But sitting on the well is somebody. Thank God that not only wants a drink from her, but will give her a drink of living water that will change her life. Oh, bless His name tonight. I'm glad God knows where you're at tonight. God knows what you've been through. God knows how you've been treated. God knows what's brought you and brought you to this place. And He'll find you even in the wilderness and out by the well. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Oh, I bless His name tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh. And then when the angel of the Lord found her, amen, He said, verse 10, I'm going to multiply thy seed exceedingly. You're going to be fruitful. You're not just going to have this boy. You're not going to just have this child, though you are going to have this child. Hallelujah. Oh, my. But I'm going to multiply thy seed exceedingly that it shall be not numbered for multitude. And she said, and when you bear that son, I want you to call his name Ishmael, because I not only see where you at, but I've heard your affliction.
Yeah,
Bible doesn't tell us about her crying. Bible doesn't tell us about her weeping.
Yeah.
But evidently she was. Because he said, not only have I seen you, I've heard you.
Yeah,
I've heard your affliction. And I've seen your affliction.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then what the psalmist David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he inclined his ear unto me.
Yeah.
And he heard my cry.
Yeah.
He also lifted me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a solid rock, established my going, put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto our God. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord hears us and sees us in our affliction tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Amen. And then the Lord had fellowship with her. I mean, the Bible said she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. And then she called the name of that well Beer-Lahai-Ro, because it means, have I also here looked after him that seeth me. She said, not only do I realize today that God sees me, but he showed up and let me see him. She said, I've been looking at the one that's been looking at me. I'm seeing after the one that's been seeing after me. Now, she felt like she was out there by herself, but the Lord appeared to her and said, hey, you're not by yourself. Have you felt like you're by yourself, that you're alone, that nobody knows what you're feeling, what you're facing, what you're going through? Can I say, he sees you, hallelujah. And it's a blessed day when he'll open the eyes of our understanding and let us see him that sees us. Let us realize that he's never left us, that he's never forsaken us, that he's always right there. Hey, though we can't feel him.
Yeah. That's him. Amen.
Amen. And let me say one more thing, I think, and then I want to try to get on to the next chapter if I can. Hallelujah. Now, why in the world would the God of heaven have anything to do with this Egyptian handmaid? Why would he hear her? Why would he see after her? Why would he fellowship with her? Why would he bless and make her fruitful? Amen. I'll tell you, for one reason only. Because of the seed that's in her. The seed that is in her is Abraham's seed.
Right.
And since God had a covenant with Abraham, he showed favor to Hagar.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his name.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all don't know this, but let me tell you again tonight. Hallelujah. Do you know why God's having anything to do with any one of us tonight? He's not having anything to do with you because you live in North Carolina. He's not having something to do with me because I live in Alabama. And he didn't have something to do with me because my granddaddy was a sharecropper. Amen. Hallelujah. And my mama sung in the church quartet. And my grandma was a shouter. That didn't have anything to do with it. Are y'all hearing me tonight? He's not having something to do with us tonight because of our level of education. Thank God. Or our bank account. He's not having something to do with us because he wants to be around rich people. Thank God he has pity on poor people. That's not it tonight. But I'm telling you why he fellowship with us. I'm telling you why he has anything to do with us tonight. Why he accepts us. It's because that's inside of us tonight. Thank God. Oh, bless his name. When I got born again, when you got born again, the seed of Christ was placed inside of us according to John's God. Hey, my little John, hey, we call it. Hey, are you hearing me? And that seed remains in us. Hey, God, in that we cannot sin, or it cannot sin, or it does not sin. Hey, for that's his seed. And based on that eternal and everlasting covenant that was founded before the foundation of the world. Hey, God, that's why God has anything to do with us tonight. It's for Christ's sake. It's for Jesus' sake tonight. I've accepted in the beloved tonight. It's not what
what you've done and who you are tonight. It's God. And God caring for us and accepting us in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. And so, the angel of the Lord says, go back. Return to your mistress. Submit yourself to her. Amen. Oh my. That's the hardest thing to do. Is to submit to that. That's oppressing and afflicting. And that is your cross. That's the hardest thing to do. But that's what He said to do. So she goes back. And then she gives birth to Ishmael. Amen. And for 13 years, we don't know what's really going on until we get to chapter 17, which is 13 years later. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? 12, 13 years go by. Hagar has given birth, and now Ishmael is a 12, 13-year-old boy. And I think Hagar is somewhat pleased, and she's now, though things have never been exactly right between her and Sarah since then, she submitted to her, and she forgets about Sarah and even Sarah's attitude and edge toward her. And she probably has hopefully brought her own despising in the rightful place and not looking at Sarah like she was. But she doesn't dread Sarah's grouchiness or edge or retaliating her with harsh words because she sees that boy and she's just happy about that fruit.
Amen.
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 Bless His name. The burdens of life are much easier to bear if you can keep your eyes on the fruitfulness that God will bless you with for suffering for His name's sake, obeying His will. Are y'all hearing me tonight? It's when we get our eyes off of His, off the fruitfulness, off the blessings of God, amen, and only see the heartache and the disappointment and the strife and the cross and don't look at the crown, oh, that we become discouraged and defeated in our life. Oh, I need to be through and I ain't got started good. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And time me to quit, and I hadn't even got to where I need to get to. Pray for me, please. The Lord will help me. Sarah, no doubt, looks every day at that boy as he grows up and gets stronger and mightier and says, I thought this is the heir I wanted, but
yeah.
I sure ain't happy.
Yeah.
I know this was my idea, and this was what I... the scheme that I thought, and I reasoned it out, and I talked it over with my husband, and I forced it upon Hagar, but, oh no, I'm still not very happy. Amen? And Abraham has to live with the fact that simply because he wasn't willing to take a strong stand, and not hearken to the voice of his wife, that this has been brought to pass. And he regrets it every day. And as the years pile up, as 5 years and now 10 years and now 12 or 13 years go by, Sarah says, well, I guess even though it's not made me happy, this must be the way God wanted it. And even Abram looks at that boy and he says, well, God said I would have an heir. Are you listening?
Okay.
And
Hagar thinks that probably this is the heir. She may not say nothing. She may not despise her mistress as she has before, but somehow inside of her she says, well, he'll one day be the heir to all that Abraham has. May I remind you, God did not initiate, God did not direct Abraham and Sarah and Hagar to do this thing. But in His foreknowledge, He knew they would. And since He knows everything, He then is able to work things together. Amen? Are you listening? Now we get to chapter 17. Amen. And the Bible said when Abraham is 99, the Lord appears to him. This is the fourth time the Lord's appeared to him. He's appeared to him in Genesis 12:6, 12:7, 13:6, and 15 and verse 5. This is the fourth time the Lord has appeared to him. And it's been 13 years. And they have had to live with what they have done. Probably made Hagar somewhat happy, but not really Abraham and Sarah. Though Abram has grown more fond of this boy and thinks maybe things will turn out all right. Anybody listening? But the Lord appears to Abram, and here's what the Lord said. I am the Almighty God.
Amen.
And that's the first time in the Scripture that God uses that name to describe Himself. He's the Elohim. Here He's the El Shaddai.
Right.
The Elohim. He's the Jehovah. He is the covenant-keeping, amen, covenant-making God. He's the Elohim. He is the Eternal One. He is the self-existent One. He's already revealed Himself in that form. But this is the first time that He ever says to Abram, hey, you've been looking at that boy for the last 12, 13 years. You've been looking at Sarah's dead womb and saying, this is your heir. He said, let me announce something to you, Abram. I am the Almighty God. I'm not just a self-existent one. I'm not just a covenant-keeping God. But I am the Almighty God. I am the God that has strength and power, amen, to do whatever I want to do. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Oh, hallelujah. And he said, can I tell you something? Hey, God, Sarah's going to have a son. Oh, hey, God. Hey, God, and Ishmael is not your heir. He's not your heir. Are you hearing me? Oh, thank God. Abraham had thought so. Or in this chapter 17, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. What we have done, the wrong that we've done, may that be the answer out of your promise. And God said, no. Hey, God, that's a fleshly seed. That's a carnal seed. I'm going to give you a spiritual seed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Woo! Are you hearing me? And I can do that because I am the Almighty God.
Yes.
Amen? If I'm trying to say anything tonight, it'd be the fact that after we have failed the test, after we have seemingly, thank God, messed up the plan and the purpose of God and didn't wait on the promise of God, aren't you glad in due time He'll appear? Aren't you glad in due time He'll step up and say, hey, this is not it, thank God. And you don't have to live this way. This is not all there is. I am the Almighty God. Hey. I know what you've done, but I know what I can do. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless His name for that, don't you? Hallelujah. So there is a new name for the Lord. But since there's a new name for God, there's a new name for Abram. And there's a new name for Sarah. Amen. And it's in chapter 17. We didn't read it, but it's there. Read it when you get to the house. Look it over. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not going to call you Abram no more. I'm going to call you Abraham.
Amen.
Because he said, you're not going to just have one little son by an Egyptian handmaiden. Hey, God, he said, kings is going to come out of your loins.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, bless His name. Thank God. And he said, now Abram's name meant a high father. Amen. Bless His name. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. And the world looks at us. Thank God when we take on the name of Christ. You see, because Abram, I mean, everybody looked at everybody that called his name. What's your name? Abram, high father. Well, you're not even a father at all. Amen. You're 87-year-old boy. You ever had a son? What do you mean? I'm a high father. And God said, you're not only a high father, but He said, I'm going to call your name Abraham. You're going to be the father of a great multitude. You're going to be the father of many nations. He's really saying to him, believe me again. Hallelujah. You doubted me before. You stumbled at what I had to say in the matter of Hagar and with Ishmael regarding the promise, a seed that had come out of your loins. But can I remind you, Abraham, since I am Almighty God, since I am the one, God, who has all strength and all power, hey, thank God, when I am the strong one, hey, listen to me, he said, thank God, you're not just going to be the father of this boy. Thank God, you're going to be the father of a great multitude and of many nations.
Amen.
Amen. And then he turned around and said, and I want you to call your wife Sarah, spelled in our Bible S-A-R-A-I. He said, I want you to call her Sarah. He said, because she's going to be a princess and a queen. It's going to be a kingdom come out from you. Not just a kingdom, but kingdoms. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, how's that going to be? Because I'm the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I could have done it before this happened with Hagar and Ishmael. Thank God. But you went ahead and tried this. But I'm still going to do it, though it's 13 years later. Thank God. Hallelujah. And though you're 99 and Sarah's 89, and when you get to 100 and she gets to 90, I'm going to give you and her a son because I'm the Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. And then he said, since I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. You see, Abraham, you've been walking lightly. You've been walking with some unbelief. And when a person walks with unbelief, it'd be like somebody walking on ice. And fearful to take another step or take it barely. Real lightly, afraid the ice might crack under him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, Abram, I want you to quit walking like that.
Yeah.
And walk before me perfect. Hallelujah. Thank God. Pick up your chin. Lift up your head. Thank God. March on. Hallelujah. This thing's going to happen. And the reason it's going to happen, I'm not just the self-existent one. I'm not just the covenant-keeping God. I'm the Almighty God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless His name. Now, may I say this as well. By Him giving Him that name, Abraham, instead of Abram, it's the H. The letter H. And Sarah, it's the letter H instead of the letter I. The word there, the H there, stands for the Hebrew word Ruah. And when the Hebrews say that word Ruah, they really pronounce it with strong. They really make it, say it long out, let it come forth, you know, extend it. Ruah. They're actually exhaling every time they say this. They say, Ru-ah. Because Ru-ah means spirit. The first finding of it is in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Yeah.
What changed it?
The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What happened? Ruha. That breath of God. Do you hear me now? Abram, you're going to walk different from this day on because your name not just going to be Abram, it's going to be Abraham. I know that sounds funny. Amen. Thank God, I'm probably not doing it like they do it. Thank God, but he said, there's that ruah now. There is a strength. There is a power. There is something now. Woo! Hallelujah. That though you failed in the flesh, though you sinned in the flesh, though you come short in the flesh, now since I'm the Almighty God, I'm going to give you the strength how to bring forth a seed. I'm going to give you the strength how to walk in full faith. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, thank God. Your name's not going to be Abram no more, but Abraham. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit, the breath of God, the wind from heaven, is going to come upon you and enable you how to do what you could not do in the strength of your flesh. Hallelujah. And Sarah, hallelujah. Amen. Oh. Sarah, you're not going to have to look the next 13 years of your life. Thank God. Out of the tent door and watch Hagar and Ishmael play and wonder, where's the promise of God for you? Where's the fruitfulness of God for you? Where's the fellowship of God for you? Where's the strength of God for you to do what you need to do? He said, because from now on, it's going to come upon you and you're not Sarah no more. You're Sarah. Hallelujah. Oh, the wind of heaven, the breath of God, the Spirit of God is going to strengthen you. Are y'all listening to the preacher tonight? Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Bless His name. Ruah does mean spirit. Wind, breath, when it comes to individuals or persons, it means vital powers or strength. He was giving them vital power and strength. Not only to have a son, but to believe Him. Amen. I said the other night, let me say it and quickly be through. They stumbled. They struggled in their faith with this matter of Hagar. But now after the Almighty God appears and changes their name, they stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Hallelujah. Abraham considered not his own body dead, though he is 100, and considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, but said, if he promised it, he's able to perform it. Hallelujah. Sarah must have looked at Hagar and Ishmael and said, I don't have a life no more. Look there at Hagar. She's the one with the life. She's got a son. I ain't got nobody. She nursed him. She held him in her arms. She's done all those things you do with a little baby and with a little boy. As he's learning to crawl and walk and then grow up and then see him grow up. And she said, it was my idea, but I'm not having no. I don't have a life. I think a lot of days she cries. I think a lot of days she's sad. I think a lot of days She's miserable. And then she says, and I see Abram loving that boy. As he's more gets around him more, though we messed up, I see him loving him more. And look like he's loving me less. She said, oh, what a mistake I've made. And I'll never live again, and I'll never laugh again, and I'll never love again. But the Lord says, not so, Miss Sarah. I'm the Almighty God. And at the season appointed, you're going to have a son. And I want you to call his name Isaac. And she did. And when he was born, Sarah, that for 13 years was sad and had no life and could not love, thank God, when she gave birth to Isaac, she's laughing. And she says, hey, I'm not only laughing, but y'all laugh with me. Woo! Who ever thought, thank God, that a 90-year-old woman, thank God, whose womb was barren and even dead, and it was past the time that I could give offspring to my husband, but yet it's come to pass, and she laughed again. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And she lived again. Hallelujah. For now, though Hagar had her Ishmael, a Sarah has her Isaac. Hallelujah. And she loves again. Thank God. For Abraham loves this seed of Sarah. Amen. Are you listening to me? Oh, I bless his name tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've never dreamed, had I not read the rest of this Bible, that when I closed out Genesis chapter 16, this story could have turned around like it did. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you listening? One last thing, I'm through. Someone said concerning Abraham, when he cried, oh, let Ishmael live before thee, is that he got used to having him around. And he became satisfied with less than the perfect will of God. And here's what the person said. Sometimes our complaint is not that God gives us so little, but he offers us too much. And he'll never let us be content with anything short of what perfectly fulfills his love and his purpose. You see what he's saying to Abram is, oh, let Ishmael. He said, well, I'll make a great nation of him, and Hagar's going to be sent away. But he said, I want you to believe me again. I want you to trust me again. I want you to walk before me and be perfect. Don't be satisfied with what you've done in the energy of the flesh when you can have so much more.